Issues Etc. regular guest Pastor Stephen Parks on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc., the Issues Etc. 300.
Vermont recently became the fourth state to legalize same-sex marriage. Do you think every state should follow suit?
You know what? In my country and in my family, I think that I believe that a marriage should be between a man and a woman. No offense to anybody out there, but that's how I was raised, and that's how I think that it should be between a man and a woman. Thank you.
Well, there you are. The women are beautiful. And they're standing on the stage being asked sometimes weighty, sometimes less weighty questions. There's Miss California at a beauty pageant being asked about gay marriage and the future of gay marriage in America. Carrie Prejean gives an answer that is, and ordinarily these are very politically correct moments, aren't they? Ordinarily these, you give the most generic answer that appeals to the broadest number of people. After all, it's a beauty pageant. She's asked about gay marriage. She says, you know, for me, it's one man and one woman. We're going to be talking about gay marriage, these remarks, and a recent column by Ellen Goodman on same-sex marriage with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse. She's founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she is author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me, Todd.
You know, it would have been easy for her to just whiff there and go with the politically correct answer. It sounds as though she kind of said what was on her mind before she really thought about it and got the opinion out. What do you make of her remarks there?
Well, I have to give her a lot of credit. I mean, you know, this is a young woman who's obviously got a lot of spunk and who knows her own mind. You can't be Miss California and have never heard about a controversy over same-sex marriage. So that didn't just pop out. That wasn't a mistake. That's what she really thinks. That's what she really believes. And, you know, she knew that there'd be people unhappy with her, and she knew certainly that people in the entertainment industry overwhelmingly favor same-sex marriage and that there are many gay men involved in the entertainment industry. She knew she was going to take some heat for that, but she did it anyway. So I give her a lot of credit, and I would just mention to your listeners that we have already posted the story about her. We've posted that on the Ruth Institute, Ruth Youth blog, because we know that's going to be of interest to our, you know, to the people who check out our blog. So we would really invite all of you to come and read more about her and our comments on it at the Ruth Institute blog.
Since we're talking about a young woman here, do we have any idea what the mind of America's youth is, generally speaking, of course, on the issue of same-sex marriage? I'm given to believe that younger people, especially younger voters, this is kind of ho-hum, been there, done that. It's not really a fighting issue for them.
Yeah, you know, Todd, I have to tell you that the atmosphere on campus around this issue is extremely toxic. And I would have to say it is more toxic and charged now than it was in November and October when I was going around doing debates on same-sex marriage in California. For whatever reason, the environment has really deteriorated to the point where you know, people are having trouble listening, people are having trouble thinking through the thing. And I think what it is, I think that a lot of young people believe that by being in favor of same-sex marriage, that's their way of showing solidarity for their friends who are gay and for people they care about who are gay. And what they can't quite seem to see is that redefining marriage is a very serious issue that fundamentally has nothing to do with whether you like your gay friend or your next-door neighbor who's gay or whatever. It isn't a referendum on gay people and whether you like gay people. It's a referendum on the future of marriage and whether we're going to have a social institution that attaches mothers and fathers to their children and mothers and fathers to each other. And what's happening to us is that we are eliminating that as one of the meanings of marriage in order to accommodate same-sex couples. And people are not thinking through what the consequences of that are going to be.
Ellen Goodman writes recently, national columnist, in favor of gay marriage, calling DOMA the Defense of Marriage Act, which has its state corollaries to its federal corollary. An out-of-date law that enforces an identity crisis for gay Americans, and she bemoans what she calls the glacial scheme of social change. While things are moving so quickly elsewhere in social change, for some reason, we just can't, as a society, on board with gay marriage. Your thoughts on Ellen Goodman's ideas?
Well, you know, first of all, the pace of change on same-sex marriage is phenomenally fast. This issue has unraveled very, very quickly when you're talking about social changes, and you know, cheered on by people like Ellen Goodman, who don't want to think through the consequences of the thing. What you see in her column, and I don't recommend anybody waste their time reading this column, but you know what the advocates of same-sex marriage do not want to do is they do not ever want to talk about the consequences of redefining marriage. They don't want to talk about children. They don't want to talk about religious liberty. They just want to keep repeating, this is a civil rights issue, this is a civil rights issue. They're like a broken record on that subject. And so when we come back and say, you know, wait a second, there's some other things at stake here, then they shut down, they get angry, they call you names, they make fun of you. But they do anything but look at the substance of the issue and say, well, gee, is in fact anything going to change as a result of redefining marriage? And we say we have plenty of reason to think that things are going to change and that this is going to end very badly, in fact, for the whole of society and for children in particular. So I'm getting a little tired of these people basically blowing off that whole area of conversation, which in most areas is the main thing you have to talk about. What are the consequences of doing what you propose? They absolutely do not want to talk about any consequences. And that to me is absolutely irresponsible. And then to turn around and boo at people and hoot at people and call names of people who do try to bring those issues to the foreground, that is irresponsible and toxic, and it's poisonous atmosphere around this debate. And these people are really, I think, gravely responsible for the condition of the debate in this country.
Goodman points out that former Rep. Bob Barr, who wrote the Defense of Marriage Act, is now disavowing it. Is DOMA bad law?
Well, DOMA is incomplete law, and you know, we knew this all along. Those of us who favor traditional marriage, conjugal marriage, natural marriage, those of us who think marriage is about bringing the two halves of humanity, male and female, together rather than keeping them separate, we knew for some time that the Federal Defense of Marriage Act was simply a stopgap because of exactly the thing that Ellen Goodman is now talking about, which is that one state at a time enacts same-sex marriage one way or the other, mostly through the courts, and then they are using that as a position, as a leverage position, to lever the entire country into going along with their program, whether the rest of the country wants it or not. That is what is at stake here, and that's why DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, was never sufficient, and we knew it was never going to be sufficient. You need to amend the Constitution. If you really believe that marriage is one man and one woman, you need to amend the Constitution to make that happen. This is not going to be good enough to have legislative enactments. And that's the meaning of what happened in Iowa, too, by the way. Iowa had a Defense of Marriage Act that was basically legislative, their court ruled that that was in violation of their Constitution. So it's at the constitutional level that things ultimately are going to need to be changed, and we hope that the ordinary people get a chance to vote on this rather than having the federal government or the national judiciary impose same-sex marriage on the whole country.
Then with only 30 seconds, Jen, at least Ellen Goodman admits that there is a state-by-state strategy, that this isn't welling up from the grassroots, but
yep,
there is an activist strategy at work in Iowa, Vermont, and elsewhere.
Your
thoughts?
She absolutely admits it, and the cat's out of the bag. This is not some kind of spontaneous thing. This is a very carefully crafted, well-coordinated strategy that's being brought forward by the gay activist groups who are very well-funded, very well organized, very highly educated. And I deal with that in a recent column that I wrote on this subject on the ruling in Iowa, they completely outgunned the poor little old guy, in the county clerk in Iowa, who's the person who's being sued. They had far more resources to bring to bear in that court case, and so you can read about that at my blog and at National Catholic Register and at RuthInstitute.org. And if you sign up for my weekly newsletter, you can be kept informed of these things, because in this area, the law is changing very fast, public opinion is changing very fast, and I know your listeners are very concerned about these issues, and so I really hope that they'll join us at RuthInstitute.org and sign up for our newsletter and stay abreast of these important topics.
Folks, we have posted a link to Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse and the Ruth Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Just click on demand, issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at George Mason and Yale universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on the program, Pastor Will Wheaton will join us. We're going to study a great Easter hymn. It's that season. We need to study some of these hymns and mine them for their scriptural and theological roots and content. The hymn Joy to the Heart, Pastor Will Wheaton will be our guest tomorrow on Issues, Etc. Yes, we need to think through the consequences. You do this in every aspect of your life, don't you? You decide you're going to change something. The way you do something, how you do something around the house, you decide you're going to change your insurance provider, you're going to change the kind of car you drive, you're going to change your cable company. Don't you think through the consequences when you're changing your cable company or doing something mundane like this? Change your brand of deodorant and you think, well, is this be as good as the one I've got here? If we need to think through the consequences of such trivial things, certainly marriage, its definition, and the way we view it as a nation needs some careful consideration before redefinition. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.